Yeah, so if you would, please give us an update, Ken.
Well, thank you. First, I just want to say thank you guys for having us here. We appreciate Trinity Church and the work that you guys do in the community and how you have supported what we've been doing for a long time. It means the world to us to partner with you guys in that. Thomas Amos and I getting kids off to school this morning. I got a dinner at 10 o'clock over at the Ascension Church. One of my classmates is Leadership Montgomery. And I just regular day, regular life, you know, just doing the things that we feel strongly to do in the community, getting the after school tutoring program up for the new year, working hard to put that together, still working with the team, at the MAP Center, Trenum College is there now on site, teaching adult education, GED classes and workforce development. So we have that going really well. This week, mental health is going to be on site there. They're going to have some on site office space there that they'll have in the community, an opportunity where they can reach people in the community who need some help. So a lot of good things are going on that we're really, really excited about in the community. I'm still preaching on Sunday at the church, still teaching there on Wednesdays, and still hearing what God is saying for the community as we continue to work with Al Montgomery. Last prayer, I was just so excited about the last Saturday prayer. We prayed at Carver School, and God opened the doors that we was inside of the school building praying, and the superintendent, the vice superintendent of the Montgomery School System led the first prayer. Oh, and the principal at the school there prayed with us. So it was just, you know, we've been working with that town for a long time, going throughout the city of Montgomery praying. But this was the first time God opened the doors that we was actually inside of the school building praying and walking the halls. And it's just been a lot to see how God just continued to take the work that we're all trying to do in the city, you know, to higher heights and deeper depths. So I'm excited about what God is doing here in Montgomery. I'm thankful to be a part of it, but there's just so much good going on in the city of Montgomery that goes under the radar. It's not ever talked about or celebrated. Mm-hmm. And I just love making noise about good. I love making noise about good things.
Wow. Drill into the MAP Center. Maybe explain that. Some people won't know or understand what the MAP Center is.
So the MAPS means Ministry About People. And that's what we feel God has called us for. And even before the building was donated to us, we felt that was the call of ministry. We were doing Ministry About People. And the center happened to be the old Channel 12 TV station that was donated to the ministry. And inside of that facility, God has blessed us that we've started with adult education. We started targeting that 17-year-old high school dropout is where our target was. Those kids who were seemingly getting the most of the trouble, one that was always, I mean, court with them, always with a parent praying about them, you know, in jail, in trouble. And so we felt that if we could target that 17-year-old and above who did not have livable wage opportunities and always an appetite that was so high, that we can cause them to get some livable wage jobs and, you know, instill hope into them, we can redirect their lives. And that's what we went after, going towards those kids who dropped out of school, who did not have a future, did not have plans for life. And we start working towards trying to turn them around and pointing them towards a hope in Him. Mm-hmm. And we feel strongly that God has been opening those doors. We open the MAP Center evening, we call the Hub Center. It's a recreation area. We've got pool tables, TV, you know, just a place where teenagers can come and hang out, a safe place where they can, you know, be out of the streets, but a place that we own the environment, you know, we can mandate what goes on in there. And we have teenagers knocking on the door, want to be inside. But it's a safe place. It's a good environment. It's a godly environment. We have Bible studies. We have devotion inside, but we have fun with them too. And we have a place where they can just be young adults, teenagers, but also in a safe place in the community. And that was one of the things that we really, really excited about that inside of this community.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the evening sort of youth facility, I guess, was the first part of that, wasn't it?
First part that we renovated. You know, the building was a TV station for 67 years. Yeah. So no. The part that we renovated to the hub was this barn they call it, the storage place, has stuff in there since 1954. So we had to go through that room and clean it out and to flip it into something that the kids really, really love that place. Yeah.
And what, so it's additional plans beyond what that you're doing, adult education and the hub for kids?
Well, we still have the after school program, tutoring program here. So
yeah.
We still have it there in the evening. So we're going to start that back with the new school year now. But we have in the evenings from 3 until 6, after school tutoring.
Yeah.
And after school at home with care.
And then jump back over to Mercy House and the church.
Yeah, Mercy House has been,
which is in West Montgomery. Map Center is about 20 blocks.
It's just 12 blocks
south of here.
Yeah, it's just right down the street on Court Street here. And Mercy House maybe 12 blocks opposite way. At the Mercy House, since the pandemic, we started out during the pandemic, we were serving about 30 people a day, coming in for food, a hot meal, taking showers, and getting food to take home. Since the pandemic, we up to about 350 people every day that come here to eat a hot meal. So it has multiplied. And even in the summer, and even holidays, when kids are out of school, we see the number just going through the roof. Food that we send home to families has multiplied. So all those needs, but to have that hub inside the community, right outside of, I think, one of the hardest places in Montgomery, which is Gibbs Village, where I think a lot of people call the single parent capital of Montgomery. A lot of single parents out there, a lot of young children in that community, but a place where we can serve them well with food and clothing. And a lot of homeless people come through there now, especially with the new deals with the Salvation Army coming through, taking showers, using the computers. And we are so thankful that we have there, we call it the Business Center, a place where people come in, get online, use a computer, do application for jobs, copy things that need to be done. And just a really powerful entity just right there in a place where it's needed. We call it Little Kinko's. They come in there and use it and able to, we've seen people get jobs. We've had one person who during the pandemic got disconnected with his benefits, his check, it got cut off, he moved, this guy was homeless really, but his check was going to a different person's house and something happened that got cut off, and because all the offices was closed, he was not able to get his check for over a year. They go back online and trace it back and help him get that caught back up. And that person ended up getting an $84 check. Just that's how much money that was just backed up, just sitting here. And there's so many people like that you see running the streets who have benefits that, for whatever reason would be theirs, but don't have an address, don't have means, don't have anyone to walk them through to help them and get those funds.
Yeah, and somebody, I don't remember who, was doing computer literacy, because that's ongoing.
We still have computer classes, computer literacy classes there, yes.
Yeah. In the house, there was a house you were going to put the family in, is that?
We actually have two houses that we have families in right now. So family participation program, families living in houses, that lives in those houses for a year. We walk along beside them with financial literacy and try to disciple them over that year's time. And that family paid a $500 participation fee to stay in that house. But also they live on an 80-20 budget rule. They have to live on 80% of that income. They have to save 10% and then they have to give 10%. So we teach them those rules. And at the end of that year, that family, whatever schedule we had put in place for them, they finish that schedule. And at the end of the year, we give them the participation funds back so they can leave out that house. We got one family who should be leaving out in September that will leave out. They would have saved $5,000 over the year. And they will leave out with the $6,000 we give them. They will leave out with $11,000 that they will be able to move out and start their life with.
Wow.
And so that's a family who will have never had a savings. That's a family who's never lived on a budget before. That's a family who lived paycheck from paycheck forever and never had the means or had the opportunity to do anything like that. And so they'll leave out with a been disciple for a year. They leave out having a budget plan that they have lived on for a year and learn how to live on the 80/20.
And then New Walk of Life Church.
New Walk of Life Church, like I said, is growing still, you know, it's just a hard place to be right outside of, you know, I guess it wouldn't have been the hardest place in the city, but most of the homeless people walk inside, you know, just a place to feel that God has called, that the gospel goes to the poor. And so that's the reason Thomas and I have been there for the almost 20 years we've been there. We just feel called that for the gospel to reach the poor there. We, you know, had opportunities to be in where we want to be, but we feel the call that God has placed us there that the gospel will reach the poor.
Mm-hmm. Questions? I've been asking all the questions. Others would have questions. I can ask more.
Ken?
Yes.
Tell us about how you use volunteers in your ministry.
Oh, we thrive on volunteers. Volunteers are at the Mercer House helping prepare the meals every day. We have volunteers in the after-school program, helping with the tutoring. Even in the evening program, we have volunteers, even from schools, colleges, come in and help. You know, young college students come in the evenings and help out inside of the recreation areas with the young people there. So we welcome volunteers at every level. We have volunteers who's right now we're planning the telethons, which is going to be again October the 6th. And we're welcoming volunteers to come and help us that day as we ask the phones and take the pledges in like we did last year. But volunteers have been a huge, huge part of what we do forever.
Do some people just volunteer like once a week how does that work? Can you just, how do you make arrangements to volunteer? I guess I'm saying.
Just call in. We have, Angela at the Mercer House, but we accept whatever availability. Some people on a schedule that we know they're coming every week, but some people can come once a month, or some people may just have a day that they can come, and she calls and say, hey, listen, I want to come and help out with the Mercer House, making some snack bags or serving lunch today. I want to come with the after school program, you know, so all those things just call and schedule, and then we get the necessary paperwork. If with the kids, though, we have to have the background checks and those things, so that's a process we go through for that if you want to work with the
children. And who's the contact, Ken?
Angela Gilchrist.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I was going to hand you this. This is a bookmark that probably Kim sends monthly. This is the August bookmark with the names of the Mercy House staff. Yes. Just list off who those people are and what they do, Kim.
Yes. So Adrian is the person who amazingly, from inside of the Mercy House, you can imagine that, prepares on that one little kitchen stove. We feed 350 people sometimes a day. I can't even imagine all that stuff. He's there now already, just preparing for today, for the meals of the day. But Adrian is the person who's cooked in the kitchen. Miss Doris is the person, she's a senior in the community. She runs the clothes closet, organized that, and helps people in and out of the clothes closet with that. Keandra Ray is the caseworker. Keandra Ray, we have a social worker that works there on site now. And Keandra, when the people come through the Mercy House now, not only are we able to take the intake to find out what their needs are, but Keandra is the person who walks them through the process of it in to whatever their needs are. She's got people with homes, houses, jobs, medical needs, all those things. But Keandra graduated from Alabama State. She was an intern. She was a volunteer there also, interned there, and then was able to, after she graduated from Alabama State, she stayed on to work for us part-time as a caseworker. So that's Keandra Ray, who's there. Tara Terry is part of the youth ministry. Alan Mathis is new to Montgomery, but Alan is a consultant. He's just the first man who helped us. We work just now for our strategic plan for 2023, and Alan's a really strong person to help us with that. Charles is our youth minister. Josh is working with the youth department and also at the Mercy House. Kim is the office manager and the person who does the administrative work for us there. And Valerie is the operation manager.
Uh-huh. It's a bustling place.
It's a bustling place. And each one of these names I just called you out on probably have 10 things of a name, just like me. You know, all of us are cross-pollinated. We do so many different things.
Yeah.
Bus driving, sweeping the floor, roof, air conditioning work. I mean, you name it. They all have to be done. But I really appreciate the gift and the talent of the people that work with us and their heart to serve. Yeah, we have a really strong list of people who desire to help us there.
Yeah. Other questions? Oh, Shannon. Yeah.
When you're reaching the new people that come in your doors of your church, do you find that they've been in church in the past, they've heard the gospel, or it is the majority of people who don't know the gospel? How do you reach them?
Yeah. Most of the people that we serve are unchurched people. You know, some may have had some relationship in and out of a church. We find very few, well, we are, that's walk in. Have a relationship with Jesus. So we started a discipleship process with them. Kind of walk them through. But we cry out for, mature Christians to come and walk with us. But it's a really hard place. Most of the people who you see here are people that come in as on staff who are sound and able to help us through the process. But most of the people walking the door are someone walking in and meet. And destitute, and those are the people that we know they offer. Just offer opportunity to worship. And so that's why we feel the doors of that church is open there, so that they can walk into that place and offer the opportunity.
So when they have heard,
they may have heard,
they may
well,
have
yes.
heard enough, but they don't know what it means.
Don't know, don't have
an understanding.
Yes. Some, feel like he's big Santa Claus. We forgot about them. They didn't get that list. You know, they just don't understand something. You know, we have a lot of hurt in the community there. People who don't understand, life, understand how that they can be here and there be a God who not see. And that's why we feel strongly that we're here to demonstrate and show them the love of God as he cares.
Yeah, good question. Other questions?
Ken, are there any Trinity folks currently serving on your board?
No, but we are knocking on the door.
Okay.
We are knocking on the door, yes.
I was just wondering. Thank you.
You're hopeful, yes.
Go ahead. Yeah.
With all these ministries, so many things happening all at the same time, what are so far some of the biggest obstacles to these ministries?
I think some of the biggest obstacles that we have is just keeping everything rotating together.
Yeah.
You know, just keeping things moving, the unions and supporting and supplying to the other. I think that's the hardest thing that we have to do because we're short in every area that we work in, staffing and funding, but just to keep everything rotating and, just keep it managed, just management, I think is one of the biggest things we have to do.
Mercy House, I guess you minister the people in that area, and then MAPS, you minister the people in that area. So it's really, is it much overlap?
Well, we actually, from Mercy House, we open the doors to anybody throughout the city that come there. Most people walk in the community who comes to eat, but a lot of families who know that the Mercy House is that many places that you can go to 5 days a week and get food for your family if you need it. Not many places open, even churches that have food pantries normally open once a week or maybe once a month. But we're open 5 days a week. So throughout the river region, they call 211 and need a place, the food bank. which I serve on the board, they, someone called the food bank and needs some food. They said, hey, Mercy House around the corner, you can go there. And they call and need a hot meal, you know, they know that they can go there and get a meal. So it's not just in the community there. And the MAPS then there is, we have people from Wetumpka who comes there for the GED program, who come there in class that role. So it's open. We just happen to be in that specific place, but all of the doors are open to anyone.
You mentioned Salvation Army just briefly, right? They relocated over to closer to where you are now. I knew they were trying to, or were even closing.
They have not relocated at all. In fact, last week we, you know, the mayor was just talking about how we can even offer them some space, some office space, you know, until they kind of get a place. They still have not got a place. At least that's the last week. I think the building they're in, they were supposed to be out the first office. And so they still looking for some office space. Even they have realized they don't have to cut with the shelter and all those other things until they get a permanent home. But they wanted some office space. So we're trying to work with them and see if we can offer them some space.
Mm-hmm.
They lose their building because of the park that's going on.
Yeah, the city, the water park, they have bought that property, and so they haven't found a home yet.
The city didn't offer to rebuild anymore?
I think so. I think the funding that they offer is really could build what they want. It's just it's hard to find a location.
Uh-huh.
Everybody's fighting them coming into the community. There's no welcoming.
No welcome, man.
It's a hard work. And so the Salvation Army work, you know, overnight shelter people, but in the daytime, those people there have to leave out in that program. And so whatever community they're in, they have to leave out. And so everybody's concerned about that. That's one of the hard things about, you know, them trying to find a place there. That was how the Mercy House was. One of the birthing things was that it was a day house. So we kind of felt with the Salvation Army when they stayed, we didn't have an overnight shelter, but in the daytime they could come and take a shower, get food, and use the computers and those things, you know, in the daytime. But at 4 o'clock, when the Salvation Army opened back up, they could go back in and check back in. And so wherever community they go into and open up a place, it's going to probably be the same thing. And that community realized that. There's going to be a lot of people in it. It's kind of hard to find a place.
Many of you know, or at least some of you know, that Ken is part of a pastor's group, even kind of one of the formative men, I think, in this group with Claude and Jay Wolf and Kyle Searcy and John Ed and others. Names aren't coming to me now, but that's been, I think, a great force to unite people in this city. The prayer group being one of the visible elements of that. There's these videos that were done here recently that have been coming to us. What's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, when the George Floyd incident happened, Johnny and I was together. We was talking and we said that, you know, we need to put a group of people together, men together, or pastors together, to kind of stand together to make the community know that we are not divided. You know, sometimes you always see the ad, you see on TV how everybody just going each way, different ways. And I picked up the phone and I called Pastor Clark and then I called Kyle Searcy and he called Jay Wolf and I think we called Pastor Ed Nettles, you know, some other pastors, six of us all together. And we literally made a pledge that we was going to stand together as elders in the city and kind of continue to be at the gate, praying for the gate, praying for the city, and just trying to be leaders, you know, leading the city towards, you know, what we feel God has expected him for us. We didn't feel that we was to be pulled, you know, either way. We all had our opinions about what was going on. None of us thought that the police department was bad. We do think that there are bad people in clergy, that bad people in medicine, that bad people in police, and even teaching. We know that there's bad people, but we don't believe the department was bad. We don't believe that the force was bad. So we don't want them, you know, to flush the police department, the good that all those men, our family, our friends who were serving there, we want to stand with them and make the world know that, listen, we may have a person who did a bad thing, and we should hold that person to the extent of the law if it was something that was proven that was done. But we should not kill the police department. We should not hurt those men and women who put their lives in danger day in and day out. I serve as a chaplain with the police department, and I know, you know, the dangers they go into day in and day out. So we didn't want to see that. So we start standing together, start speaking, and start making other appearances. And it's for good. Just trying to make the city know that we're all working together, and we uphold the good for the city. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you all have a reputation for holding us together, the whole church, because when the Floyd thing happened, we were not a riot scene, which we were very blessed, so we very easily could have been that. So. I thank y'all for what y'all are doing, and I don't know how you reach out to other churches, but get the whole body of Christ in Montgomery, you know.
We've done that. We've had at John Yet office, I think, probably about 60 pastors.
Okay.
So we actually, what you're saying, we've worked together to try to do that. Younger pastors, younger ministers who work hard, you know, trying to speak into them and biblically, you know, trying to be a shoulder for them, to be good for them.
Ken.
Yes.
I think your videos are very powerful, and I hope that you all will keep up the good work. And I told Claude you all needed a billboard on the I-85 corridor going toward town with the five of you across there that says building unity in our community. And then where you can go to listen to those videos. So y'all work on that.
Thank you so much.
Good Friday for you, Judy.
It's amazing. You know, Billy Irvin has on fake radio, so he plays on fake radio. It's just amazing how, you know, it's been getting out throughout the community and so many other people. We are scheduling, we still wrestling with the dates, but we'll get ready to report again, get ready for the end of the year and the holidays. So yeah, we recorded that a month or so ago, and was able now to bring it out. So we're recording now.
Well, you've given us a prayer list here, and any other kind of, as you walk in this morning, specific prayers for this day, this week, to mention with us?
Yeah, and I didn't put on here the new little initiative that we're doing. We're doing what we call the Manor House. I don't know if you heard about that. The Manor House is the old casino restaurant that's around the corner here.
Okay.
And that building was kind of gifted to us at the beginning of the year, and that was the place where we were trying to buy the house next to the Mercer House ever since we've been there to have more rooms to prepare food. And this restaurant was gifted to us in a sense that we now are trying to open up the kitchen there so we can have a place there that we can prepare food. So we call it the Manor House. It's food from God. We're going to be a place there that we can actually prepare food there and send it almost like a Meals on Wheels, you know, where we got to prepare food there now and send it to the Mercer House. And any other agency or ministry that needed food, they could come there and get meals there that can take it to whatever that they're serving. So we'll have the team there cooking, and you can order food there. I'm not sure the process, how long it would take, but you can order food there. Come and get 25 plates ready that you want to take to someone else. You see some homeless people on the street somewhere, and you want to drop the food off daily to them. You could come there and get a hot meal and deliver it to a place where, and that's what we're trying to put together. Yeah. So pray with us with that as we working hard to bring that up.
Yeah.
What restaurant was that?
Corsino's was over on Court Street.
Yeah, 911 Court.
It was there for you. Italian restaurant. Yeah. All right. Well, any other questions, anybody? We'll go to prayer in a minute. But Judy, would you? start us with prayer?
I'd be happy to. Gracious Heavenly Father, we just thank you and just give you the glory and the honor and the praise for all that you're doing at Mercy House and at the MAP Center and just all of the various aspects of this ministry, Lord. We just thank you for Ken and just for his genuine heart for ministry and just for also, Lord, for the leadership that he's providing for our community and just his involvement throughout the community. And we thank you, Lord, for the gift of the MAP Center where they are having Bible studies and tutoring and training and recreation and adult education, Lord, and just to so many great things that are going on there. And we thank you for this building, this facility, and we just pray that you would prosper all of the work that's going on there. We pray for the staff at Mercy House and for Adrian and Doris and Kim and Val and Tara and Alan and Charles and Josh and others, Lord. And we just ask that you would equip each one of them with everything that they need to do the job that you have called them to do. We pray, Lord, that the gospel will go forth through this ministry and from their church, and that many will come to know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ through the work that's going on there, Lord. Thank you for each one involved, for each board member, for each volunteer. And we just pray, Lord, that you would provide their needs and just send the provisions that they need to reach the community with the gospel. And we pray that the Holy Spirit will transform in a powerful way the hearts and minds of that community. And I pray in Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Lord, I agree with Judy's prayers and that we lift up this ministry, but I'd like to lift up Ken, Lord. He blessed that we pray for his family, his health, his schedule. And Lord, hearing all these many things that are going on, we pray that you would be with them. Ken, that you would give him wisdom as he leads these many programs, as he starts new programs, but he's just out in the community to really to change the lives and hearts of people and draw them to yourself. So he has been faithful to do this for many years. He continues to do it. And I pray that you would give him many more years, that you would take care of him personally, Lord, as he continues in this work. So I'm just thankful to know him and know that what a wonderful job he's doing. And Lord, I pray that you would.
Amen. In
Christ's name.
Dear Lord, thank you for this time when we can see your hands and work so clearly. Sometimes we are behind the scenes and we find out later, and sometimes we get to see it. And thank you, Lord, for this time this morning to see your hand at work. Pray that you would have your hand across all the staff and their families, that you would protect and give them the direction. You know that when we hear that, even with this staff, that this is short staff, that we know that they are maxed out, that they are doing over and above what they might have even signed up to do. And we pray that you will use that in their families and their own lives to encourage their hearts, Lord, that they would see your work and that they would be a good cheer and that they would take courage, that they wouldn't grow weary, that they wouldn't be burned out, Lord, that you would give them endurance from on high and perseverance. Lord, protect them, protect their families from all evil, and give them joy this day.
Jesus, you said that the harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. So we pray, Lord, that you would raise up more workers, more resources, more help, more funding. Lord, you own the cattle on a thousand hills. You own this whole world. It's all contained in your hands. You have all the resources that we need and we desire. We ask you, Lord, that you would provide, that you would open the doors, you would open the opportunities to grow, to expand, to help more and more people, so more and more people may hear about you've done it. You have died in their place for their sins, that you have removed the wrath of God on them, that you have forgiven their sins, that you have given them new life. We ask you, Lord, that more and more people will be able to hear that message. More and more people will be able to hear the love that you have provided for them, and that they may enjoy an eternity with you. So we ask you, Lord, that you would raise up helpers, workers, more staff, more volunteers, more opportunities, more ways in which this whole ministry can serve people in Montgomery. And so we ask you, Lord, that you continue to bless their endeavors, continue to grow, continue to provide, and continue to do what you promised to do, that the gospel will reach every corner of this world. And so, Lord, we praise you for all that you've done so far and all that you will do, now that it's all in your hands. In Jesus' name.
Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time and for Ken and his faithfulness in responding to your call. I pray that you would continue to sustain him, give him the energy. There's certainly plenty of need, and he's conscious of the need around and responding in ways that few people are. And yet he's been a force to mobilize other people. And so just you placed him in such a visible position in a way by his faithfulness even, that people respond and these things are happening, these ministries are happening in places. The MAP Center, who would have dreamed a couple years ago that this would be the place of ministry now that it is, and with even more potential there. And so with the Mercy House as it continues, with the feeding and the just the facilities that are there for people in the neighborhood who come to the neighborhood now, for New Walk of Life Church and the hope of the gospel that is proclaimed there, for the two homes that are part of that little community now, for this family that is about to launch off into their own after spending a year in one of those houses. The ministry happens in so many ways. It happens in your name. And I pray that your name would continue to be glorified through this. I do pray for Ken and Thomasina as well. She's back to teaching this week at ASU. Just the friend that very much part of Montgomery Christian School that she and Ken have in many ways. And so sustain her. Bless their family, the children that are with them, and their extended family, their adult children. Watch over and protect them. Keep them through this all, Lord. The encouragement that each of us has, just being reminded of your call in our lives as well. The things ahead of us in this day. Let us be, each of us, be lights for the gospel, reflecting the gospel from you into the lives of the people around us. To your honor and glory, we ask. Amen. Mm-hmm.